Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here, just absolutely ecstatic about having my guest in today, Dr. Doug Young from Clay County and so many other places in his history. Good morning, Dr. Young.
Good morning, Ben.
Thanks for being here.
I'm glad to do it.
We've been messaging and talking for the last few weeks, but I have known you, I guess we were talking before we come on, at least 18, 19 years, and I feel like as long as I've been in Clay County, you've been there. And so I want to talk about that. I want to talk about Clay County, but I want to talk about your background first. And so you're a lifetime educator, and I do want to just first start with Dr. Young. Where did you grow up at?
I grew up in Clay County and a five-year stint going to Nashville.
Okay.
In the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grades.
So what does family had to move there?
We moved down there. My dad got a job down there. He was a barber. And we moved down there for a while.
So he was a barber?
Yeah.
Okay. He did that all his life?
All of his life.
Well, I like that.
He was also a carpenter. He could do that. But his primary thing was a barber.
I bet the stories he heard behind that barber chair.
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you what. He ever meet any famous people?
No, he didn't. That he told me about, at least.
Yeah.
Had one interesting thing that... He cut hair for 50 cents back in those days.
Wow.
And the union was cutting hair for 75 cents.
Okay.
And so they got in a fuss fight over that because my dad wouldn't join the union.
Right.
He was from Clay County.
Yeah.
And he was going to do what he wanted to do. And he went to work one morning and his chair was dangling down from the ceiling. They'd blown the shop up that night.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, he built right back with some partners They even put a police officer in there with a riot gun to keep everybody out. But the customers kept coming. And finally got in a shooting match with them on the way home one night and finally just gave up and we went back to Clay County.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Even back then, people were crazy, right? I mean, we think about today, everything that's going on, and this is not a bad show. We don't talk about negative stuff. But for him to, you know, he survived pretty much 4 years in Nashville and just had enough.
Yeah.
I didn't know barbering was such a tough business, such a controversial business to be in.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of difference in a quarter of a haircut.
Well, what was it like for you those 4 years coming from small rural Clay County to big metropolitan Davidson County?
It was tough, but they had so much more than we had in Clay County and much more money and could have more people. As a matter of fact, one of the teachers was concerned about my performance would be really good sometimes and really poor sometimes. So she thought I was having a vision problem. Well, they tested me and found out it was a hearing problem. And I was 40% deaf, and then they got me lip reading and all of that kind of stuff.
Wow.
And finally, at the age of 82, I got me some hearing aids.
Okay. So, well, are you 82? How old?
82.
You're 80. Wow. I feel like you were young when I met you 19 years ago. So let's talk a little bit about your – so you come back to – your family comes back to Clay County. You have a big family? Did you grow up in a big family?
No, I'm an only child.
Only child. Wow. Okay.
My dad really, really looked forward to getting back in Clay County because in Highland Heights Junior High School in Nashville, I had a duck's tail haircut. I had hair back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I had engineer boots and a leather jacket and a switchblade knife. And I was tough stuff.
And, he's ready to get you back home.
And I had a little gang. We were running in there and went back home and to Salina. And I found, well, they had a gang there, too.
Yeah.
And they all had jackets. But they had a C on their jackets.
Yeah.
And the only way you could get one of those was to play ball.
Okay.
So I ended up playing football and letter and getting my jacket.
You got your jacket. The gang jacket was a letterman jacket, wasn't it? Yeah.
And my dad had great pleasure. Nobody had a duck's tail haircut.
Yeah.
And he had great pleasure cutting that duck's tail haircut off and giving me a burr.
That's that sounds a lot like a story my daddy told me about his haircut, but we'll talk about that another time. So You finished obviously high school in Clay County, played football, and your dad's glad to have you back home. I guess that was a culture shock coming back home. And
It was.
So did that experience kind of shape your future?
I got a really good education in Nashville and came back and didn't have to study much in high school, which was a mistake.
Right.
And just kind of floated through high school.
Yeah.
And got ready for college and knew pretty well what I wanted to do before I graduated from high school.
And what was that?
And when I told my high school principal, Mr. Brown, I'm going to come back and get your job.
And you, I guess you did, didn't you?
I've got to tell that story.
Yeah, absolutely.
I sure did. But while I was gone, Mr. Brown had gotten in a little political trouble, and they'd moved him out to Union Hill Elementary School.
Oh, wow.
And he, just as I was coming in, he was elected superintendent. And on his first day, school had already been going on. I'd been hired as a teacher and coach my first year. And he called me down to his office the first day and slapped his knee and said, I remember what you told me. You were going to come back and get my job. Well, son, I'm going to give it to you. But remember, not as high school principal, principal of Union Hill Elementary School.
On your first day?
On my first day.
Wow.
And on his first day, yeah, when he took over September the 1st, I'd already started teaching.
Okay.
But he was vacating that job,
okay,
creating a vacancy, and he put me out there in his job.
Wow, you got in it early then, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
So what? When you did you go to Tennessee Tech, or where did you go to school at?
I went to Middle.
Middle Tennessee.
At the time I graduated, everybody was going to Tech.
Yeah.
And I was the only one that went to Middle. There was one other guy down there at that time, but he was quite a bit older than me. But before I graduated, we had a bunch down there.
Is there any reason you decided to go to Middle Tennessee instead of
well,
Tech?
I hate to talk about it because later I ended up on Tech's faculty. But I went through looking at my teachers in high school, and I picked out the best teachers I had. And there were three in particular, and they graduated from MTSC.
Right.
And I decided to go down there, and that was a good choice. And Edel Hearn was the dean at Tech that I got to know later, and he always enjoyed that story because he was also an MTSC graduate.
Wow.
And so I got a good plan at Middle. I got down there, and I was really impressed when I went down there just to look at how I was treated. I got down there in the summertime and walked up the steps at the administration building, went in the first room on the right, and the dean of students said, "What can I help you, young man?" And I said, "Well, yes, I'm looking at the possibility of coming to school down here. Well, I need to give you a tour." And so here the dean of students took the time to take this country boy on a tour. You'll have your English classes here. You'll live in this dorm. Oh, you played football. Well, let's go over and see Coach Murphy. And we went over to see Coach Murphy, and he took a look at me and said, "Son, what do you weigh?" And I said, 145. I actually weighed about 135. And what position do you play again? I'm a center. He said, "Well, I don't believe I need a 145 pound center, but I'll remember you." And that was the end. And then I went on to school down there, and about Thanksgiving, somebody came and found me. I was hanging out in the gym, and Coach Murphy wants to see you. And I went down to see what he wanted, and he said, "Young, would you be interested in being a manager?" I wanted to coach. Yeah, I would. And he said, "Well, I can't help you much right now, but I can put you on a meal plan." So I got my meals for $20 a month.
Yeah.
At the end of the next semester, I got meals and books. And then at the end of the year, all the managers and trainers, for whatever reason, didn't come back, graduated, and something else happened during the summer. And so I ended up with the full boat then for the next 3 years. And he worked me hard, but that was a great experience being with him. I learned a lot about how to work and how to work with people just from Charles M. Bubba Murphy.
I love the fact of, the dean of students probably set that up for you, right?
Yep.
And gave you that opportunity. And so I don't know who the dean of students was, probably never met him in my life at that time and now, but they cared enough about you to take you on a tour of a campus and introduce you to a football coach. And even though you wasn't the size he wanted, he remembered you and said, I want to give you an opportunity to be manager, not only help your future, but give you a chance to save some money and get through school. I think it's wonderful how we all try to help each other, you know.
And that dean of students now has a building named after him down there.
And what's that?
Belt Keith. Dean Belt Keith.
Well, I think that's
Keithley,
a great story.
Keithley.
So is the Coach Murphy, is the Murphy Center named for him, or is that another? Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, it's basketball season, and the state tournaments have been going on, and so I've been down there a lot. Upperman, you know, makes it down there a lot to Murphy Center, and we're thankful for that. So that's an interesting connection. And we got a little bit of time left before we break, Dr. Young, but you at Middle Tennessee, but you before you left Clay County, which is Clay County High School.
Yep.
You knew you wanted to go in education.
I did.
And so you obviously picked Middle Tennessee State, which I guess MTC before was Middle Tennessee College.
Yeah, I was the last graduate of Middle Tennessee State.
Okay.
And being I'm a young at the end of the alphabet, and it became a university the next semester.
Next semester. So, okay. So that's fantastic. What year did you graduate from Middle Tennessee?
1964.
So I am with Dr. Doug Young. This is Ben Rogers here on Local Matters. Dr. Doug Young, and we did not I just went straight into your story because I've known you so long, but you're actually the director of the Chamber of Commerce in Clay County.
I am.
Right now. But Dr. Young has had so much rich history, as you've already heard, about education. We're going to get back, and when we come back, we're going to talk about him leaving Middle Tennessee, Clay County, and being in the school system there, and then where he went from there. Here on Local Matters, we'll be back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here with Dr. Doug Young. He is the director of the Chamber of Commerce in Clay County. And Dr. Young, I'm just still so excited. We've heard some great background, and I'm not done yet because I've known you for a long time. And, you know, we've talked a lot in the last 18 or 19 years. I don't know if I've ever sat down and actually just talked to you, right? And I don't know enough about you, so we're going to continue on. So, your first job out of college was back in Clay County, your hometown.
And you
took a job in the school system, and then you were pretty much appointed the principal of Union Hill Elementary.
Right.
So when you took that over, how many faculty did you have?
Two. myself and two more.
Yeah.
And both of them were old enough to be my mother. And as a matter of fact, one of them was one of my best buddies' mother.
Yep.
And boy, they trained me well.
Yeah, I'm sure they reminded you that they were old enough to be your mother.
Like I was their son.
Yep.
And I got $2 a month at that time per teacher under me. So that was $4 a month. And I hired one of the students and paid him a dollar a week
mm-hmm.
to come in early and build a fire in the stoves. And that's something that teachers today don't realize ever happened.
So I think, is that building still standing?
No, it's
okay.
Gone.
It's gone. So I used to, for a short time in my life, used to go to church in Union Hill. So I'm familiar with that area.
Yeah.
So that building is gone. So how long were you at Union Hill Elementary?
1 year.
Okay.
Went to the high school the next year and as a teacher and coach and that's really the only year I ever had as a full-time teacher.
Really?
Well, the next year, they needed a guidance counselor, and I became the guidance counselor and had five of the seven graduate hours you had to have and did that a couple of years, and the principalship came open, and at the tender age of 26, I became the high school principal. I almost had some boys there as old as I was.
and
and that was an interesting experience.
So you quickly became principal of Clay County High School.
That was a job I wanted.
Yeah. Now you told Mr. Brown. Yep. Yeah. And so was he still director of schools then?
No, he passed away.
Okay. So he didn't get to see that come.
No.
Well, I hate that. That'd have been a proud moment for him, I'm sure, to see that. So you stayed at Clay County. How long were you principal there?
See, the first stint was 3.5 years, and I got contacted by the Sequatchie Valley School Board of Administration. They had gotten a grant for $9 million from ARC and TVA to build a comprehensive high school down there. But the catch was it was to be for Bledsoe and Sequatchie.
Oh, okay.
One high school for two counties.
Right.
And you know that area very well. Mm-hmm. And they picked a site out there that would have worked very well. It wasn't far. It was kind of in the middle. And they hired me to come down and plan the school and plan the program. And I went down and I had a one-year contract. And by the end of that year, it was evident that wasn't going to happen. One of the counties backed out. They didn't like the idea of their kids going to one school, and so they just decided. And so ironically, both counties built their own high schools then, new high schools, and it cost them about $4.5 million to build them. And this way, they could have had a high school and not had to pay for it.
So where did that $9 million go?
It went back to ARC and TVA. We were able to use a lot of it for in-service training and some of that kind of thing.
Okay. So what intrigued you about that, Dr. Young? You're a principal at your hometown high school. You get this call. What was it that made you jump at that opportunity?
Well, I'd gotten interested in planning in Dr. O.C. Stewart's class at Tech, graduate class. And this was going to give me an opportunity to do some of the kinds of things that I'd learned. And so I went down and tried to use those skills, and it worked out well for me. And I left there then and went with the State Department of Education for a short stint. They kind of took care of me until the new school year started.
Right.
And then I went back to Salina as principal again, picked up there for 5 more years. And finally, to make a living back in those days, I had to raise bucket calves, and I owned a clothing store and all those kinds of things. And I decided to just hang that up and go back to graduate school, and did that, and got a doctorate in planning.
Okay.
And then started using those skills again, went in business. I'm trying to give an abbreviated version, because it's obvious to me you want to know all this.
I do.
doing pretty well with that until the depression hit, or recession hit, and all of a sudden school boards quit building school buildings. And I tried to convince them now's the time to build,
right,
because contractors want to keep their teams together.
Yep.
And they'll give you a cut.
They will.
Architects will even give you a cut.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are selling supplies will give you a cut. Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to stay in business, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And, I couldn't convince many of them, and so I had to find something else to do. And Lamar Alexander had an idea that he wanted a prison in the state of Tennessee where all the prisoners were enrolled in a full-time education program. And they were building a brand new prison in Tiptonville, Tennessee, Lake County.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out there as a warden, and we put together a real unique program. It was we had about 7 vocational subjects. We had, of course, a high school diploma, even basic education, an agreement with Dyersburg State. We had about 60 of our guys enrolled at Dyersburg State Community College. And it was something to see those boys who were probably somewhat of troublemakers when they were in high school and didn't make very good grades. But then when they got those college grades, and we made sure they had study time and they had tutorage if they needed it, we made sure of that. But when they got their grades in, they came across the yard with their grades waving them. And they'd gotten A's and B's, maybe the first time in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were excited about
yeah.
it. Really excited about
that. Yeah, they accomplished something, yes. right? Probably nobody, including themselves, believed they could do.
And we were able to place a lot of those guys in good jobs when they got through.
Yeah.
And I know I had one outfit in Memphis that was calling regularly, wanting to know if I had any plumbers. One plumber. They'd take all the plumbers we could find. But I'm pretty sure that program's still going on at Lake County Regional.
Wow. So you were the first warden at the state prison in Lake County?
They gave me that title.
Wow. I'm blown away. I just thought you were in education all your life. This is why, Jake, this is one of the reasons why we do this show. It's because we get good friends in here to learn more about them. So I've got friends that work that area, and I can't wait to tell him this story because he's actually working in Lake County this week helping them. You and I talk off air, but they've went some financial crisis over there, and it's just a small county. There's not a lot of resources. The prison makes up most of the population, really, if you look at the county. You look at the census, most of the population's the prison population. But anyway, I'm fascinated, Dr. Young. How long were you there?
Well, 18 months.
18 months.
Sounds like I got paroled.
So how was it? Well, and we probably need to talk about that after the break. We're with Dr. Young. He's the director of the Chamber of Commerce in Clay County, but so much more. I'm in the presence of greatness right now with Dr. Young, and I've known that for a long time, but did not know everything he had done. When we come back, I'm going to ask you, what was it like living in small Lake County? Then we're going to move to the chamber stuff that we want you to talk about too, because Clay County's just booming right now with things. This has Ben Rogers on Local Matters. We'll be back in just a minute with Dr. Doug Young after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters, Ben Rogers. I just said off air, I'm happy. Dr. Doug Young from the Clay County, the Chamber of Commerce Executive Director, is here with us. And we've mainly been talking about education, and I found out you were the first warden at the state prison in Tiptonville, which is Lake County. So what was...
And they gave me that title, warden.
Yeah.
We had the warden.
Yeah.
But I was running this other thing.
You were running the education side of it. Right. And these inmates are getting education and learning things. So... Clay County and Lake County really ain't a whole lot different as far as the demographic, right? I mean, you got one in West Tennessee, but it's rural. It's small. So was it a big change for you?
Well, I've had the opportunity to live in five distressed counties in my career. And so I found it pretty much like the others.
Yep.
A lack of money, a lack of jobs, and a border county.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really a border county. They're bordered on two sides.
They are.
And that really creates some problems for them.
Yeah, that's true. They're the Missouri and Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they and so you leave Lake County, you come back home?
No.
No.
No. That was kind of the deal. I went to York Institute as superintendent at York Institute. And that was a unique experience. I was able to stay there for 23 years and finally got some staying power, and that was a tremendous opportunity. We had some fantastic folks there. The community was fantastic. The teachers were just outstanding teachers and award-winning teachers,
mm-hmm.
and built an award-winning school, and they just put their shoulder to the grindstone and worked so very hard. And for people that might not know about that, York Institute is a state school, no local control at all, no local school board, and it's the only high school in the state of Tennessee that the governor is directly responsible for. And as a matter of fact, the superintendent at York Institute serves as at the pleasure of the governor.
Right.
And so that's a very unique experience. And then the history of York Institute, Sergeant York having founded York Institute himself,
mm-hmm.
and running it for a number of years until the state finally took it over and started running it. And so it's got such a rich history. It's just an amazing situation.
When did you leave York?
I left York in 05. Had the notion to come back to Clay County at the end of my career and serve as director of schools down there and did so, and I had a 7-year plan. At the end of almost 4 years, I had a heart attack, and I thought my career had come to an end, and I'd just retire and go about my business. And then I found out having a heart attack's not all that bad. They go in and clean your pipes out.
Yeah.
and then you feel a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. And so I started volunteering down at the Chamber of Commerce then.
So that's the path to where we are now, right?
That's where we are now.
You've been in education your whole life, except for, and really you still were in education when you went to Lake County to be at the state prison, but you've been in education your whole life, decide to retire.
Yeah.
And I know you. You're very, and that's where I met you at, was Clay County Schools. I as a CTAS consultant, walked in one day, and Joyce, my goodness, what was her name?
Joy.
I'm sorry. Joy. I about forgot. Met Joy when I first started. And of course, they hired Ashley shortly after that. Just great folks, right?
Yes.
I mean, you had a great staff, and you and I talked budgets and trying to figure out how the county and school board can work together. And then you retire. And so you're now at the chamber. You're the executive director there. And you spent, you're pretty much full time. I mean, you're there a lot. And so what intrigued you about taking on that executive director role with the chamber?
Well, it started out with, I was just running the three-star program and helping the Chamber of Commerce director out on various projects. And I tried that retirement. It didn't work very well. And so I could hang out there and help him with some things. And then he developed Alzheimer's and had to step down. And we hired a new director. And he served for a number of years, mm-hmm. and then he went to work for CTAS and took that job, and he's still helping out.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, we had a committee meeting this morning. He's running our workforce development committee.
Okay.
And then I agreed with my wife, and I decided just to volunteer our time and go to the Chamber of Commerce full time and see what we could do there. And we've been there now, I guess we're on our fourth year.
So what do you enjoy about it, Dr. Young? What makes you happy? What makes you keep coming back every day?
Well, to see some good things happening, to see the programs that we plan and see them to their fruition and see that some people's lives are better because of the Chamber of Commerce. I think sometimes in some of our communities, people don't understand what a Chamber of Commerce is. And what functions that they can perform, because as we go from community to community, the chambers of commerce are different. They're governed different. They're funded differently and all of that. But we looked first. We had the highest unemployment rate in the Upper Cumberland, and we knew that that's the reason that we were a distressed county, because a distressed county is based on three factors, but all three of them go back to unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided that one of our major things would be a jobs program. So we developed that pretty soon. And the way it works, if you're unemployed or underemployed, you can come in the chamber and fill out a one-page generic application. We scan it and send it out to all the employers in Clay County. And if that matches, then they can call you in, and you can fill out their application and maybe do an interview and then maybe get a job. And so that's working for us. And now we're working directly with the American Job Center. Luke Eldridge and Kristen McLeod down there are really working with us and doing a great job helping us try to get out of this unemployment situation. And we're working directly with industries there, trying to help them. There's a lot of programs out there that can help industries, particularly these smaller industries, and it's hard to make the connection. Sometimes when I'm trying to work with an industry, they kind of treat you like you're a salesman. As a matter of fact, one of the people that represented TVA told me about being with the county once, and right in the middle of his presentation, they stopped him and said, "No, what's the catch?" Like he was a salesman. Well, these agencies are not salesmen. They just have programs that can help industry. Just give us a few minutes and let us tell you about it.
Yep.
And so we've been able to do that. We're trying to help them as much as we can. And then we have the traditional kinds of programs at the chamber. We have another one that's kind of untraditional. A long time ago, I guess it's been close to 15 years ago, I went to a downtown meeting in Franklin, and one of the guys on the program was John Schallert. He ran what he called the Destination University, and he ran a destination shopping program with some training. So we were fortunate enough to get a tourism director through the grant the State Department of Tourism had, and we put her through his training, and now she's doing the training herself. She's now a facilitator, and so she's training our local merchants on his program, and she can use his videos and all that to teach the class. And so we're trying to teach those guys how to make more money and get those tourists. We have so many tourists coming to Del Hollow Lake every summer. And then I've been running the three-star program for, I guess, 15 years or so, and we have a really good project coming out of that every year. Last year, we took over a project on Donaldson Park and resurfaced the tennis courts. It hadn't been used since 2006, and the Corps of Engineers, I guess, just didn't have the financing power to be able to be able to budget that project. And we developed pickleball courts mm-hmm. there too as well. And then we renovated one of the pavilions. And so that was last year's project. And this year's project, we're looking at branding Solana to make it more approachable by tourists. And so we're just getting started on that one. We've been so busy the first 4 months of this year that we've just not been able to get to that one. But we're getting after it right away. And then in our Chamber of Commerce, too, we have the responsibility for the Solana Clay County Economic and Community Development Board, and we do something unique there. We meet every month, and a lot of places just meet quarterly right. with that one. And we do another thing that's unique. We have some students on that board, and they get to participate. We have a senior who will be a voting member of the board, and then we have a junior who will be a partner, we call them. Then next year they'll be the voting member. And right now we're in the process of planning. This is difficult. Working with a bunch of teenagers has always been like herding a bunch of cats. But we've got here to the end of the year, and we're trying to put together a Clay County Youth Commission. Modeled after the Clay County Commission. We've got two members from each voting district, two students from each voting district lined up, and we want to go down and meet with the county commission and let them sit with them and get to know them and understand what they do. And if we can get enough time, we're starting this a little late in the year, and we may have to defer to next year. We don't know yet. These kids are so busy today. It's just something. Proud of that in Clay County. I don't think for years we've dropped below 95% as a graduation rate.
Yeah.
And one year we had 100%.
Wow.
And that school system can be commended for that and a lot of other things. They're doing a fantastic job. They've with this third grade test that they did, they led the Upper Cumberland in passage rate, and then had to do a retest, and they led the state in that.
Well, that's good.
And then their high school is a B school, and we're proud of that. That's above average.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Young, that's great information and a good way to leave this show today here on Local Matters. I've had Dr. Doug Young, the director, executive director of the Chamber of Commerce. A lot of information. Thank you for what you do.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for all the service you've given your counties and the state and in your history and your life. And so I'm very thankful for our friendship. Just appreciate everything. Remember, folks, a lot easier to smile than it is to frown. Be kind to one another. Thanks to my producer, Jake. Y'all have a great weekend. Thanks, sir.
All right.
That was good.